Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another show from Stress to Authentic Success. I'm your host, Danielle Sachs, and today I am inviting you into a conversation that goes right to the core of what the show is all about. Yes, we're not here to talk about service, service level kind of change. We're here to talk about the kind of shift that changes how you show up in your body, in your energy, in your life. And my guest today, well, I can tell you, he's not just someone who talks about transformation. He lives it. Eric Admides is a global thought leader in health, behavioral change, human performance. He's also the founder, of course, of the Wild Fit Movement, a lifestyle and health program that has changed the lives, I know, of over 100,000 people in more than 130 countries. Yes, you may have seen him on stage teaching about food freedom or heard him insights on how stress, the biology and the mindset are all connected. Or perhaps like me, you've had the privilege of learning directly from him, because that's how I first met Eric Life into a leadership and speaking program that I'm following. And what struck me immediately was that Eric doesn't just speak to impress. I love his stories, but he speaks to liberate. He helps people see what's really going on behind their choices, their health, and the way they live their lives. So today, we are taking a deeper look at something we all know too well, and that, of course, is stress. That's what this show is all about. But not just the kind of stress that shows up in your inbox or your to-do list. We are going to talk about the persistent stress, the quiet stress that lives probably in your food habits, in your energy crashes or your cravings. It's the stress that shapes your choices without you even realizing it sometimes. And Eric knows this terrain really well, both as a mentor and as a human being. And in today's episode, I am so excited because he not only shares his insights on health and food freedom, he also opens up about one of the biggest challenges he's currently facing in his personal life and how he is using those same tools to stay grounded and clear. And this is not just another interview about WildFit. It's a honest, deep conversation about resilience, about honest self-leadership, and about, of course, the power to choose your response, even when life throws the hardest challenges to you. Now, if you've been following this show for a while, or me for a while, you know that my work as a mentor, as a coach, as a therapist, as an inspirator, a motivator, a speaker, is rooted in one core belief. And that is true success. Authentic success is not about what you achieve. It's about how fully you live. It's about the quality of your energy, your presence, your inner world. That's what I call true wealth. And I talk so much about freedom, fulfillment, life force, etc. It's the kind of wealth that money can't buy and no one can take away from you. And one of the most powerful doorways into true wealth, it's of course the body and the hidden beliefs that shape how we treat ourselves, especially under pressure. And that is where Eric's voice is so valuable, because he brings and the science and the soul, if you ask me, the structure and the truth. I really, really love how he brings his messages to the world. So whether you are someone who struggles with energy or emotional eating, whether you're under pressure in business or family life, or whether you just want to reconnect with your power of choice, then this episode is truly for you. Let's dive in to this honest and powerful conversation. Really, I truly appreciate this one with the one and only Eric Admetis. Talk to you just now.
That makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, and I am absolutely delighted, as I said at the intro, to have this amazing human being in front of me. Welcome, Eric Admetis.
Thanks for having me. Really glad to be here. Nice to see you again.
I know you've got a lot of interviews and you speak so much on stage. So I'm just going to ask you a little personal question, if that's okay for you, because we're talking about stress, Eric. So what is stress to you, and what would be your personal, maybe biggest stress in your life? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I can. I think that, obviously stress can be looked at in a number of different areas of life. You know, you can say, what physical stress am I under? I have, a bit of a cold or a flu, and so I'm under some physical stress, or I'm under some logistical stress. That is, that there's more that I need to do than I have time to do in this, or resources to handle it. And then there's sort of this larger umbrella stress thing that people talk about. And I think maybe one way to define it is the focusing on your desire for things to be different than they are.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, and that is stressful. And then in terms of I mean, this is very personal, but the biggest stresses that I'm facing at the moment are abuses of the family court system.
Is it? Whoa.
And as I've gotten further into that conversation, I felt very alone in that at times, and I've now begun to realize that I'm not the least bit alone, that the family court systems around the world are torturing people regularly, and they basically are they're corrupt and broken, and they are not there to serve children. They are there to serve their own salaries. It's a tough
I
industry.
totally agree. I see it in my practice often. It's really all about money and everybody for himself, and we don't think about the next generations at all.
I mean, even to conscious parents going through that family court process can be scary. You're going through, say, a divorce or what have you, and that system is designed to inflame you. It's designed to make you angry. It's designed to make you fight, because the more you fight and the longer you fight, the more profit everybody in the system makes, from the lawyers to the administrators to the enforcement to whatever, and the judges even. But when one of the parents is disturbed, then it becomes even I mean, it becomes even more difficult, because at least when you
I
have two
agree.
aligned parents, you can kind of see the insanity, and you can rebel against it. And as a good example, I have the most amazing wife, and
Yes, you
I
have.
watched her go through her divorce, and she and her husband, ex-husband, they get along very well. They raise their children very well. I'm very good friends with him and his wife. We went to their wedding. They went to our wedding. In fact, last night we were at last night we spent the day at their house, because it's
Wow.
our mutual, I mean, their
Yes, of
18
course.
year old daughter, but our mutual daughter's
Yes.
birthday. And so we went there to wake her up, breakfast in bed, and party day, and mini golf, and then dinner at their house.
And
What
that's
our
what you want for
children,
that daughter as well. I mean,
exactly,
what
what
an
our daughters,
example for her.
exactly. She's in a loving cocoon of
Yeah.
support. My other daughter, my youngest daughter, is not having that experience, because her mother, is not capable of that, and that in itself is sad. But what's really sad is when the family court system latches onto that and turns it into something malignant.
And what does that stress do to you? Can you just share a little bit? Because I'm sure anyone listening, there are a lot of people who recognize this. So are you suffering more physically from it, more emotionally? What is the stress doing to you? And then I want to talk to you about, how you are beating stress relationship with food. There's a lot of stress as well. But can you just share a little bit on
Yeah,
what it does to you? Because
I
you
can.
are
It's
quite
been a, it,
experienced, hey?
yeah, it, it's been a bit of a wake up call for me, because I've been through, stressful things in
Yes.
business and such, and I'm pretty resilient, and I move from challenge to challenge, and I kind
Yes.
of I never feel like it's too much. I have to admit that the I'm dealing with both the I'm dealing with the family court system in British Columbia, which is, really bad. And then I'm dealing with the family court system in a separate situation in the Dominican Republic. And what it feels like is dealing with a bully. And what I mean by that is that in business, something's not going right, you negotiate, you add more value, you figure a way around it, you quit your job, you start a new company, you can escape it in one way or the other by
You
overcoming
can
it,
find
by choosing another
solutions.
challenge. Yeah. But in this circumstance, I mean, you're really dealing with a bully who has no regard for your well-being, who has no regard for the well-being of the children, and you can't escape them. There's no opting out. You can't go, you know what, I'm done with this job, or I'm going to close this business, or I'm going to, I was in a very stressful business situation running a film studio in Northern California, tons of different lawsuits, not even related to my stuff at all, but I had to deal with them. And in the end, we made the tough decision to close the studio down. We could make that decision. We had the choice to make that decision. In this situation, you don't. And what has really surprised me about this is, I'm fairly resourceful. I have incredible contacts around the world. I'm intelligent. I understand the underpinnings of the law. I can communicate effectively. And if this is happening to me, then what chance does a normal average person without those resources have fighting that behemoth? So the stress that it's created in me, I've noticed, is that in little areas of my life, I have little temper bubbles where I haven't had a temper for years, and suddenly I have these little temper bubbles where the calm that I'm holding releases for a second. Nothing major, I notice it. And then I have not been sick in years and years and years. I never, I mean, given the way I live around food and exercise and what have you, I don't really do that. The last time I got sick is when I got COVID, and even that was very gentle for me. But I can tell you this week, I have a persistent, itchy cough thing. I'm not sick sick, but I'm enervated and I can feel it. And I know that that's the result of I'm not sleeping as well as I could have and what have you. And I even find myself noticing as I'm listening to this, going, wow, the drag is that some of the people involved in this would be happy to hear that I'm dealing with that. That's part of what they're trying to achieve. It's tough. So let's talk more upliftingly about that, the management of it. What I've noticed is go to the gym. Go to the gym and particularly for men, go to the gym and lift very heavy things and hit the heavy bag and do some sprints and burn that adrenaline out, burn the cortisol out in a really functional way. Also, eat really, really well. People often tend to find
Go to
themselves in
sugar
stressful
and that
circumstances.
kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they try to drug it away with food. And my policy on that is if I'm going to step aside, if I'm going to have something, a bit of a treat, a bit of a an exception,
Tell
I
me,
will
what is
only
your
do that.
exception?
I'll only do that if I'm having a really excellent day. I will do that on the days that I'm managing things really well, because I want to teach my nervous system that those rewards only happen then, not when I'm angry, not when I'm feeling depressed, not when I'm struggling.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
But
and
that's
then
not what most people do. Most people
no.
do the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. They go into a stressful time and they eat garbage, which stresses them physically. Remember, we said there's different types. Now you're stressing your system physically while you're emotionally stressed, and it turns into a horrible feedback loop. But the third thing that I've really relied on, and it's just, I mean, it's been a trend in my life since I was 12 years old, but meditation. I'm very fond of reminding myself that when I feel least like it is when I need it
When you
most.
need it the most. And what kind of meditation do you practice? What is your, is there a rule for you? Is there a, no,
Yeah,
meditation.
I've got some structure. I meditate pretty much every morning. I don't wake up to alarms. I mean, unless I've got a flight to catch at an ungodly hour, but I don't use alarms. I wake up naturally, and when I wake up, I go into gratitude and appreciation meditation.
Oh, I love it.
It's very calming, and I even saw the other day Andrew Huberman talking about the biochemical response of gratitude. It's
Oh,
basically
it's amazing.
when you're feeling gratitude. That's one of the easiest ways to tell your cells that you're safe, because no, you wouldn't feel that if you weren't feeling safe. At night, going to bed, I do anticipation meditations, and that is to say, I look out at the day ahead, the week ahead, the month ahead, and I highlight all the things that I'm most excited about, the things I'm excited about completing, experiencing, enjoying, and I developed that meditation because I observed something interesting about children. That is, the one day of the year that they don't need to be woken up is Christmas morning. And why is that? They don't need an alarm. They don't need to be encouraged. They don't need to be kicked out of the bed. They don't need to be rewarded. They just do it. And that's because the night before they have such a high degree of anticipation that they sleep really deeply, and they wake up very solidly. And so that I developed that meditation. And then my third meditation is in something I call a meditation castle, where I have built a property. It's a big castle, well, building that's modeled on a boarding school that I went to when I was a kid. And that meditation castle has different rooms for different styles of meditation, practicing speeches.
Oh,
There's a nap
wonderful.
room. There's a nap room that if I need to power nap, I go into that room. And there's a manifestation room where I, speak to the universe on an old like 1985 CRT screen, and I type on the keyboard and I type out my manifestations. And so these are my core
What a
meditation
nice tip.
practices.
It's like creating your holodeck. Is that a little
Yeah.
bit like, yeah.
Yeah.
So what a
Yeah.
nice tip actually for a meditation. I've never heard that. Thank you
Oh,
for
it's
that.
gorgeous.
I'm
I love
sure.
teaching it. Yeah, it's really fun.
Well done. I just want to let you know that I feel with you, Eric, because I see it a lot in society here in my country and everywhere. I hear so many things. So I am a grandmother of five. So I do this. What I'm doing
Wow.
here with you is for the next generation. You know what I'm saying? It's just
Yeah.
that's how I inspire. That's why, that's I get goosebumps when I talk about it. So thank you for sharing that, because I think everybody needs to hear this, how, stressful it can be. And it's so important to be that example for our next generation. So
I
thank you
agree.
for that. Shall we talk a little
Let me
bit?
add, Danielle, one quick thing about that is that one thing I'd like everybody to think about, and I think about it a lot, is that when you're facing the biggest stresses, you should begin recording everything that's going on. And I don't mean, for the law, that's useful too, but I just mean when you get through it, you are going to be a wizened sage about that thing.
I agree.
And it is your now responsibility to pass on the lessons for the people who are yet to go through those challenges and potentially lighten the burden for them. A really good example of this in the UK is Sarah Davidson, is a good friend of mine, and she went through a really, really difficult and hellish divorce and so on, and has now, gone out into the world and taken this message on the world. She's guiding people through the process. She runs divorce recovery retreats. And so I have to say that given everything I've been through, I've now started leaning into parental rights advocacy. I'm participating in potentially in the production of a film on this, and I'm going to lend my voice to it because it needs to
Your
be that
pain
way.
to
So I appreciate what
purpose.
you're doing. Yeah.
It's your wound to wisdom. It's that kind of energy. I wasn't going
Yeah.
to ask you the lesson now, because sometimes when we are too much in it, my son had a cancer diagnosis in the beginning of the year, and people, often say directly when you're under stress, oh, but you're going to learn some, a lot out of it. But when you're in it, Eric, being honest, I mean, anyone listening, it's going through the pain as well and admitting, accepting also the situation and the pain, don't you think so?
I agree. I agree. And remember what I said about stress. Stress is focusing on your desire to have things different than they are. And so what if we took a different approach? And that is to say that as you're going through it, what if you were able to create micro appreciations for each step of the process? And as a really good example, I used to run these leadership programs where I would take people up Kilimanjaro, and I noticed that the people who were focused on the summit were the ones that were least likely to make it. The ones that were focusing on micro appreciation as they moved up the mountain, noticing the little things in nature, the fascinating conversations they were having, the emotional development that they were going through, they were much more likely to make it. And I believe the same thing happens here. And so as I've been going through this, I've just learned the most fascinating. I've learned some phenomenal, interesting things about family law. I've learned incredible things about mental illness and that sort of stuff. I've really, I've discovered some powerful things about that. But then equally, I've really discovered some things about my own, ability to manage stress, my own mental toughness, my own spirituality, my weaknesses, the crutches that I lean toward when things are really difficult. And that's a great opportunity for development. So the truth is that even as I'm in it, I have a degree of gratitude for this. And the weirdest thing about this is that the two people that are spurring this on the most, or the three people that are spurring this on the most of my life, are turning out to be among the most intensive and amazing life coaches I've ever had. And I frankly, I feel very sad for them that they live into the existence that they're living into, that they feel the need to be, say, vengeful or what have you. I feel sad for that. They're doing that, drinking the poison, hoping it'll kill me. And
I
I
agree.
it's not happening. And so I feel very sad about that. And then equally, I'm like, I am stronger than I've ever been before. And each time I overcome these things, I develop greater strength. And I know that this is going to empower me to help even more people. And so I don't think we have to wait till the end to spot the lesson, but it may be that the final lesson is revealed at the end, but that lessons and appreciations along the way are not only rewarding, but they're also, in a sense, neutralizing.
I so recognize what in my first 6 months of this year, and some of the audience, know a little bit. I talk about it because it's important to talk about it and to be authentic and vulnerable about it. And so, what you've been saying, even with such big challenges, is step by step. And I want to continue this system that you've just explained into your WildFit, how you with relationship with food. I've done WildFit. I mean, I'm a fan. So I just want to say that that is a little bit your system, the same with the relationship with food, step by step, isn't it? Can you explain a little bit
It
on
really is. And I think I can tie the two things together in a very good and very recent example. First thing is, and this is a parenting principle, a personal psychology principle, a parenting or a relationship, a business management principle. It's a universal principle, in my opinion. And that is, any behavior that you reward is likely to be repeated. And that's a very valuable thing. So if your children whine at you, and then you give them what they were looking for, you've taught them that whining is the way to get. That's why we have this explosion of the Karen and Kevins, right? Their parents just gave them everything whenever they had tantrums. And so they've learned that tantrums are functional, and now they're 45 years old and having a tantrum. So when we take that principle, it works whether we're talking about employees, husbands,
We
wives,
agree,
children,
yeah.
and the like. It also, though, works on ourselves. And that's the part that a lot of people don't really recognize, is that when you are, and this is, something that's really been big in the WildFit world. I mean, obviously we can talk about nutrition and what to eat and what not to eat, but as you and I know, most people kind of have an idea about that. But what they can't seem to do is necessarily control their behavior. And so one really important WildFit principle is this idea that your body is using emotions to create memories. And so if you're walking through the forest and you stumble upon a tree full of ripened berries, you will get a huge dopamine rush. You will get huge pleasure, neurotransmitters telling you, well done for finding this tree. Also, to remember where the tree was, and also to remember the state of mind that attracted you to go out walking to the tree. So, equally today, when you flood yourself with calories, remember your body doesn't understand good and bad when it comes to the reward system. So, you flood yourself with, say, bad calories, your body goes, wow, I'm rewarding myself. I should do this again, and I should recreate the mental state that led to this. So, if you reward your depression with chocolate, your body learns that depression is the path to this incredible payout. So, this last weekend, I'm in London, and I've flown to London because my eldest daughter is a model and she wants to go to acting school. And we went to go to an acting class with Bernard Hiller, who's just one of the most phenomenal acting teachers in the world. But the other reason that I decided to go, because I'm not thinking of starting a career in acting anytime soon. But where I decided to go is that my little girl is with her mom. She did the first half of the summer with us and the second half with her mom. And when we were in London and we knew her mom was in London, we contacted her and said, hey, would you like to see her for a little bit while we're here? We flew there on her birthday to say, hey, we'd like to see her on her birthday. No answers, no responses. We have, regular court-enforced calls that I get to have with her. Well, can we just do those in person with her since we're here in London? No answer. No, you can't. Flatly denied. I cannot tell you how angry I felt, how sad I felt for myself and for my little girl, and for my wife and my daughter. I mean, we're here to see her. We're not gonna, and we afforded the same opportunity, and it wasn't even her birthday. It's now. Here's the emotional roller coaster. Hopefully, most people listening will never be in a situation where they're denied access to their children. No parent, no healthy parent should be. But in case you haven't had that experience, I can tell you that it is spiritually one of the most difficult and painful things. And speaking of stress and wanting things to be different than they are, I was in it. I was in it all the way. And suddenly, I started getting this most powerful craving for ice cream. Yeah, just like driving craving for ice cream. And I won't eat ice cream because I the dairy messes with me. But these days, of course, there's relatively good ice creams out there. There's a variety of ice creams that are sweetened fairly responsibly. I mean, I'm not going to call them healthy. I'm just going to say maybe not so devastating. And so I could easily justify that from a health perspective. I can have a treat. I could go find one. But I recognized immediately the pattern. I saw, oh, I'm looking to it as an anesthetic. My body is still going to receive it as a reward. And my body's going to receive it as a reward and see that my anger and my upset and is the path to create more of this. And so I absolutely denied him. I said, no, No, this is where willpower comes in these
Yes.
little bit moments. It's not, willpower's not for a month of eating good. It's for
No.
the decision in the
Exactly.
moment. And I quickly said to myself, this is really simple. You're totally up for having one, but not while you're feeling like this. So you have to turn that around. You have to have some fun. You have to have it out. And of course, what true to form, what do? We go to acting. I even do a scene. I'm in the acting class. We're laughing, we're dancing, we're having the best day ever. And then I decide, you know,
And then
maybe I
you
will
come
go
back.
get one. And in the end, I don't even remember if I did. That's how unmemorable it was. But that psychological upgrade, that I've always known the theory of that. We've taught it very effectively in WildFit over the years. But going through what I've been going through over the last 2 years, I've learned, I've seen it so with such greater clarity.
And were you someone who was rewarded with ice cream when you were young? Because often it's the conditioning from not from the first 10, 15 years, that kind
Yeah.
of pattern.
Yeah. I went to boarding school when I was young, and it was a very, very intensive boarding school. They had corporal punishment. When we were 13 years old, we trained and ran 26-mile snowshoe races in minus 30-degree weather. We canoed 900 miles across Canada. This was not a normal school. And so on canteen night, which I recall correctly was a Tuesday night, you know, we would rush off to the canteen with our little allowance. And if you were fast enough, and I was fast enough, you would get a half a liter tub of ice cream, and then you'd get to go to your bunk and eat it in the dark. And those moments for me were escape from the incredible pressures and stress of being in that school. And so I'm really well aware that my body will call out for the cold and the sweet and the aloneness, and it'll call out for that when I'm in pain. And boy, did I notice that this last weekend.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's probably back to the original kind of story or pattern or conditioning, I think. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. I just want to ask you, is there any philosophy, quote statement that you live by, Eric, that you would like to share with us?
Do you know, I think that this is a bit of a grandiose statement, given that I have not read all of the books in the world, but it is my considered opinion that one of the most important books ever written on the human condition was Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And the principle that I draw upon there in my life and in my teaching and in my programs and in the, you know, and the coaching services that I do, one of the core principles is that our last ultimate freedom is in our freedom to choose our response. And we may not be able to change the external, you know, the external realities. Maybe we can, maybe that's another spiritual conversation. But while it appears that we cannot change the external reality of the world, we do have the liberty to choose our response. And there is a significant freedom in that.
Wow. And that's actually linked to why you link WildFit with freedom also. It's like that choice, that freedom of choice. Is that not a little bit your basic principle?
I think so. You know, I've always had freedom as a high value for me. And I mean freedom to do things and freedom from things. You know, I don't like being controlled, and I suspect none of us really do. And so when I started examining my relationship with food, I realized that in a weird twist, I realized that one of the reasons I was eating junk food was because I was rebelling against, you know, growing up in an environment where, like, my parents wouldn't let us have Fruit Loops and you know, chocolate covered frosted. They wanted to give us the healthy cereals like Rice Krispies, which of course it turns out is no better. But you know, that we grew up with that, so it meant that when I got old enough and I had my own job or my own money, it was like this rebellion. I can go
I
eat
can eat what
McDonald's
I
if
want.
I want to. I can eat the Fruit Loops if I want to. And so what I was doing is practicing freedom. The food industry had taught me that they were the path to freedom. And then I began to realize that it was exactly the opposite, that they had taken my freedom away. They had addicted me to substances. They had conditioned me emotionally. They had hijacked my holidays and emotional states in order to manipulate my decisions. And now I began to realize that freedom was on the other side. And so when I developed WildFit, yes, it was absolutely about giving people freedom. And the way I think of that is that most people live buffered between two terrible emotional states when it comes to food. One is guilt or shame. I ate it and I wish I didn't. And the other one is the fear of missing out. I'm in denial. I'm not letting myself, and I hate myself for it. Right. And most people live between those two bunkers. They're constantly bumping
That's
up against
correct.
that. And my view is that, and what I've done for now hundreds of thousands of people around the world, and maybe even many more across YouTube and stuff. But the what I've really done for people is said, you can be free from that. You can literally eat what you want, when you want, as much as you want, and feel great about it. And you can also not eat what you wish you wouldn't eat, and feel free from that too. And if you can establish that level of food freedom, life is amazing. It means that, sure, maybe you do want to have an ice cream, but you've learned only to do that in reward of excellence. You've learned the psychological underpinnings of your behavior, so the food companies can't manipulate you in the same way anymore. That's freedom.
I so love it. And is there a quote that you live by for yourself? Like if that to turn your stress around, is there one thing that you have as a
Yeah, there's an old Wayne Dyer. I think I first heard it from Wayne Dyer. And it basically, he said, look, you're worrying about stuff. And I think about worry. Worry is, in my opinion, the human mind's reminder system. So basically, when you worry about something, it's your mind going, don't forget. Don't forget you got to pay that bill. Don't forget you got to make that call. Don't forget you got to finish this. It's like your mind is just trying to keep you current with stuff, right? And so, so here we are worrying all the time. And so one principle that helped me was something Wayne Dyer said about that. And he said, listen, everything that you've ever worried about or that you're worrying about right now falls into two categories: things that you have agency over, things that you have influence over, and things that you don't. If you don't stop worrying, you don't need to remind yourself about it all the time. It is what it is. I mean, you could sit and worry about an asteroid coming and wiping out the Earth, but like there's very little point in that, right? So there's no point in worrying about the things you don't have any agency over. If you have agency over it, then, and this is my add-on to what he said, then write it all down. That's my add-on, because when you've written it all down, your mind no longer feels the need to remind you. And then, of course, tackle them, handle them, take care of it. Stop worrying and do something. And I remember hearing that from him. I must have been in my, mid to
Long
late
ago.
20s, and it has helped me a great deal over the years.
I'm so grateful for this conversation. I really appreciate it. And I'll just now after the break, I'll tell a bit more about the Wild Fit, where they can find it, about your new book, and quite a few things that we, Eric, maybe you can do me the favor to come back and talk a little bit more about,
I think we can make
because
it happen.
we can start, all these listeners out there are so keen to hear more about you. And thank you for being so authentic and vulnerable. I really appreciate it because that's also my kind of, kind of cake. I'm not gonna say cake to you, but my cup
Hey,
of tea.
it could be a good cake.
Yeah, I know. So thank you for that. I'll come back to the audience just now. Thank you so much, Eric Edney.
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
back. Whoa, what a rich and real conversation this was, exactly as I told you. If you expected a talk about just food and nutrition, I trust that you felt the depth behind this conversation, the depth behind what we talked about, because what Eric shared with us today, it wasn't just about what we eat, it's about why we reach for the things we do, especially in times of stress. Now, honestly, he truly opened up, not just as a health expert, because that's what he truly is, but as a father, a human, someone truly navigating the weight of real life pressures. Now, one of the most powerful things he said was this to me around stress. Stress is mostly focusing on your desire for things to be different than they are. Let that sink in for a moment. How often do we resist what is and create suffering by wishing it was something else? Eric's honesty about his current stress and how it led him straight to the ice cream, to the idea of the ice cream, to the pattern of the ice cream, was not just relatable. It was actually liberating, because he didn't share it to preach. He shared it to remind you and I that even with all the tools, we are human beings and we don't need to be perfect to live in freedom. Now, he also reminded us of a universal principle that I love and use in my own work. Any behavior that is rewarded is likely to be repeated, whether that's in parenting, in running a business, or simply how we treat ourselves on tough days. Think about this. This principle matters. Are we rewarding ourselves for slowing down? Are you rewarding yourself for pausing, for making honest choices instead of perfect ones? Because if we want to shift our relationship with food, with stress, with ourselves, it always begins with self-awareness, not self-judgment. And speaking of awareness, Eric also spoke about worry in such a clear way. He says the mind uses worry like a reminder system, but if you can't influence something, just let it go. And if you can, take action, write it down so your brain can rest and stop having to remind it through it, or stop cycling through the fear and the worrying. It's simple, it's practical, and again, it's freeing, because we talked about freedom in the core of this conversation. It was about freedom, freedom in how you respond, freedom in how you eat, freedom in how you treat yourself, and yes, also for you. Know that that kind of freedom is possible, even in a world full of stress, even when it's hard. I can testify it, because as Viktor Frankl says, and as Eric reminded us today, the last of the human freedoms is the choice of our response. And WildFit was actually based on that idea. So that even when the food industry is manipulating our cravings, is shaming us, is disconnecting us from our bodies, we still get to choose. And that's today's invitation. I want to invite you not to be perfect, but to be free, because that to me is true wealth. And if you are curious to take the next step with Eric's work, I just want to let you know that his book, The WildFit Way, is, of course, out there. Or you can even take the free gap test at gapfinder.com. A quick practical way to just check how aligned your current lifestyle is. So it's quite a nice tool to go and have a look at. And before I go, I just want to say that I found this conversation went far beyond what I expected. And so the same with my conversation with Gary Lineman from Human Garage. I found as much Eric Admetis as Gary Lineman from Human Garage. These are people that I really want to nominate for the UK Health Radio Awards 2025. To me, Eric has truly proven that He is changing the world one person at a time, exactly like Gary. Those two men have really impressed me. I've met them personally, and I can tell you they are such authentic people that I cannot not nominate them. I'm going to let you know when the voting is open on our website, and I'd love for you to show your support as much for Eric as for Gary Lineman, as for the other nominees that I'm going to talk to you about in the next episodes, because these are some people that really deserve your support, your vote. And of course, as always, if anything in this episode touched you, raised a question, or made you curious to go deeper with me on certain subjects, you can reach out to me directly at danielle@danielsachs.com. I always love hearing your thoughts. And yes, I read and answer every message myself. And I know that we'll be inviting Eric back soon because this story is just the beginning. Until next time, take care of your energy, take care of your beautiful self, and take care of your freedom. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.